The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. In one sense, this is perhaps the central passage for all of the scriptures for us, and say, what does it mean to be a believer? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? What does it mean to live the gospel? We can turn right back to this very familiar passage and use it as a way of looking at and thinking about and praying about our faith, our discipleship, our life. The challenge for us, perhaps, is to live with the simple words that we just heard. And it is certainly for us a challenge, because it calls forth from each one of us and from all of us together everything we are and everything that we have. And the temptation that we face is always the temptation to redefine these words and to understand them in a way that makes it easier, or allows us to think that, you know, we're doing this and we're living this way. And that's always a temptation that challenges us and calls us to be willing to narrow it down and to compromise it and to make it manageable for ourselves. And yet these scriptures, these words of Jesus, do not allow us to yield to that temptation. Do not allow us to narrow the scope of what these words say. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is this. To listen to Jesus' description, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus doesn't say, well, love God. And I think sometimes that's our little short story summary of that command. And so it's perhaps easy for us to say, okay, I love God, so I'm keeping that commandment. But really, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, means that for us, that there is nothing in us that is not compatible with the love of God. There's nothing else in there that we love more or better or even equally. It calls forth a wholehearted response to say, yes, Lord, I love you fully and completely. And if there's anything in my life that I recognize that isn't about loving God, well, then that has to go. That is an enormous challenge, because I suspect all of us have things that we really like and things that we really love. And sometimes they can get in the way. And that temptation can be with us constantly. I am someone who loves to read. And so I always have books, plural, going. Well, and that's a temptation for me. And I can say there are times when I know what I should do is pray. And what I hear is the book calling me. The reading is calling me. But to love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind says, the Lord comes first. And I need to put that temptation aside at times for the sake of the Lord. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it's in Luke's gospel that we hear the scribe who asked the question, wanting to get some clarification on who neighbor is. And so follows up with the question, and who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. We hear an echo of that temptation in our first reading today when we hear the Lord talking about the widow and the orphan and the aliens and the strangers and the poor neighbors. A vision that is wide and broad and goes beyond Israel and goes beyond our own. And we know in our world, in our land, the constant temptation to try and squeeze that definition of neighbor to make it manageable for ourselves. And so we think about our family, we think about our friends, we think about the people we like and get along with. We think about the people that we're concerned about and the people that we help and the people who we try and serve and the people that we try to be generous to. And we like to be able to say, well, yes, I love my neighbors, so I'm keeping that commandment. And if that's true, then why do we have such a huge debate about immigration in this country so that we can't pass a reform law that everybody agrees needs to happen? Why is it that we still have in our country concern about racial tensions and members of minority community being treated differently by law enforcement and hearing responsible adult citizens talking about having to teach their children about how to behave lest they be identified as a troublemaker and run in with the law or run in to somebody who thinks that they're up to no good, walking around merely minding their own business. And so we have young people who are unarmed, killed. We have disproportionately high numbers of convictions and incarcerations in minority communities. How is that possible if we're hearing neighbor the way the Lord talks about it in the book of Exodus, the way that Jesus talks about it in today's gospel? Our second reading today talks about the faith of the people in Thessalonica. And Paul is praising them and saying that you became a model for all believers in your whole region and even farther away, Macedonia and in Achaia. What's that about? That's about a community that is filled with faith and love of God and love of others. We saw a wonderful example of that Friday morning, front page of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Terry Pluto, Faith in You Common, profile of Jim Skirl, theology teacher at St. Ignatius, who just died. And if you don't get the Plain Dealer, if you haven't seen it, go to cleveland.com, look it up. You'll find it under Terry Pluto's Faith in You columns, I'm quite certain. But when I saw that, it gave me pause. Front page profile of a high school theology teacher. Aren't those kind of stories on page one normally reserved for famous people? Aren't they reserved for world figures and political figures, for sports icons, for entertainment icons? Aren't they reserved for people who know great success and fame so that the whole community recognizes them? How amazing that the front page of the Plain Dealer would have a story about a high school theology teacher. But even if you didn't know Mr. Skirl, never had him in class, hadn't met him, if you read the story, you understood. You understood why. Because this was someone who understood and lived this gospel passage. And for not only his students at Ignatius, and not only the people that they served in the Joseph of Arimathea Society, or in the serving and bringing food in the van to the people on the streets, or through the time that they spent with core members of a large community, or were involved in other kinds of things that Mr. Skirl was involved in, touched so many people with the witness of the gospel. And so, in Mr. Skirl, we understand what it means to be a model for all the believers. Not that he was looking around to try and be a model and get recognized. The story says very well he would have been embarrassed at all the attention. That wasn't what he was about. Simply because, as a person of faith, he loved the Lord with his whole heart and soul and all his mind. And he loved his neighbor as himself and tried to attract and invite other people to learn and to live that same love of God and the same love of neighbor. Jim Skirl was, we would like to say, an extraordinary man. Well, in some ways, yes. He was uniquely his own, and it's something that went back to a very young age. Father Jim O'Donnell said to me that when he was a kid at CYO camp, he said every summer he won the Outstanding Camper Award. He said, so this was not something recent. It's something that went way back in his life. And so we can look at that and say extraordinary. And certainly he was in a unique position with his own vocation and opportunity to see the needs and find ways to respond. But the thing that he was not extraordinary in, is he was not extraordinary in the call of discipleship, in the call of the gospel. That's a call that's given to every single one of us. It is the call to simply know the goodness and the love of God and to respond by loving God wholeheartedly. It is a call to love the people that God gives us, those who are near and those who are far, and to bring the love of God to them. It is not extraordinary because all of us have the possibility of responding by God's grace and God's blessing to live that love in our lives, in our vocations, in our way, as Jim Skirl did in his. And like him, it is simply working for God. Like him, it is simply responding to the God who has been so good to us. Like God, it is like Him, it is simply walking the Christian path.